Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to our journalist conference. The conference is being recorded. Mr. Sugiro will be moderating the conference call, and he will. The floor is Mr. Prelis. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I would like to welcome you to our phone conference today about the results of the first quarter. You have already heard of the key figures at the annual shareholders meeting about our operating result of 2.9 billion. That is an increase of 7.2%, and I think that's a good start to the business year 2007. As you know, that just didn't happen by itself, because compared to the previous year's quarter, we had a high burden because of natural catastrophes. With Kyrill, we had one of the toughest winter storms in Europe, and we were still able to increase our results, and that has to do with the progress in the operating results, as well as it's also due to the diversified portfolio. That means we're on the right track. The leap to 3.2 billion in the net income can be traced back to a good performance of our equity investments in the past months, and we've realized some of these and have achieved an increase of 82% to 3.2 billion net income in the first quarter 2007. Let us go into details right away on page three. As you see the overall development of our revenues, which decreased by 1%. Let me clarify that right away. We cannot be happy with that, despite the fact that this result meets our expectations. Let me explain that in a little more detail. The growth in life and health insurance is still on the decline, and the reason for that is the situation in the U.S., as you all know. In the year 2006, as you might remember, the sales continually decreased from 2.7 million euros to 2.6 billion euros in the fourth quarter. In the first quarter of this year, we were able to stabilize the revenues. In comparison with the previous year's quarter, we're still lacking premium income. I already pointed out that development in February in our yearly press conference, that we would have to expect negative growth figures in the U.S. for the first nine months this year. Secondly, in the first quarter, we also were faced with a weak U.S. dollar, which also dampened our growth, especially in asset management. When you look at the table, the growth in total was 3.9%. When we look at it adjusted for exchange rate effects, it would be a result which is right on track and in line with what we communicated to you. Our strategy is we want to improve our results compared to the volume, and therefore, we are happy with the internal growth, and we are in line with our expectations. In banking, we saw a significant plus, and that is something I also will explain in detail later. On page four, about the operating profit. When you take a look at the figures, then you will clearly see what I already explained in the beginning, the high burden because of the winter storms, and we're talking here about 350 million from natural catastrophes. When we look at the other segments, and when I say other segments, I also want to include the segment corporate. It is more than balanced out by the other segments. Of course, I mentioned that the 354 million for natural catastrophes, there were also special effects on the positive side. What I think is especially positive is what we have discussed, that we were always depending on property casualty in the past. Traditionally, 55% stemmed from that. In the first quarter, 07, our contribution from property and casualty only amounts to 44%. And nevertheless, we have the best quarterly result ever, and that is a clear result that the results of the other segments have improved significantly, and as I already mentioned, it is also a proof of the successful diversification of our overall situation, and that means that we are on the right track to achieve our result, an increase of our results of 10% for the next years to come. In the non-operating profit, as you can see on page 5, as I already pointed out, we have made use of the performance of our stocks in order to realize 2 billion euros in gains. We were able to pay two-thirds back of our and we also used some money for the AGF, and our equity gearing has been further reduced to 0.66, and we already forecasted that we want to achieve a figure of 0.6 here. And so that means we're also moving into the right direction here. But I already want to point out with these 2 billion, we have more than achieved what we have forecasted, and you can expect that with all things being equal in the further three quarters, we will not see any more realized gains. And apart from that, there are no spectacular developments here, and that needs no further explanation. And that gets me to the to page 6, to our net income. Our result before taxes increased to 4.5 billion. As you can see, the taxes only slightly increased, and that has to do with the fact because we had tax-free sales. And you can also see that the minorities have also been increased. And that leads to the net income of 3.2 billion euros. And I would like you not to multiply that in order to get to the result for the whole year. Let me just say two things about the AGF transaction. We bought the minority shares, and after the tender offer, we achieved a 95%, and that allows us to start a squeeze-out for AGF, and we will also publish these data as soon as we have started this procedure. Just one more word about that. When you take a look at the first quarter and look at the earnings per share for the first quarter, then before the AGF transaction, it would be 7.51, and when you include the AGF, it would increase to 7.54 or 7.55. So the EPS looks positive, EPS accretive. And that gets me to the individual segments, and I'd like to start, as always, with property and casualty. We have a very positive quarter, despite Kirill, one of the most costly winter storms, 350 million. That amounts to 3.7 percentage points. And when you look at the development of our profit, our results only was affected with 214 million, that only amounts to 2%. That means that the overall results improved, and when you look as results from capital investments increased by 76 million, and there were no realized gains here. That just had to do with the profits increasing in this area. This is an income from interest, and why am I stressing that? Because this is a sustainable contribution to our results also for the future. Also, on page 10, our revenues are stable. We have grown by 0.3 percentage points adjusted for exchange rate effects. That looks quite positive compared to last year's first quarter. When you look at the individual figures on the left-hand side, it depends on the market where you can be profitable and grow profitably. Germany is one of our main markets, France and the U.S. Here we have a decrease. In Italy, the development is more or less stable. The other European markets are characterized by growth. In the U.S., the decrease is part because of insurances for harvest losses. When we look at the commercial lines in the U.S., they have also decreased. It is positive in that sense that a fireman's fund stayed at the same volume without having a negative effect on the profitability. I would like to point out another point which you cannot see in that slide, but we talked about that. We have seen an increase to 88.8%, and here we see also a positive development. That gets me to the combined ratio on page 11. The development of the combined ratio is characterized by Kirill, the winter storm. As you can see on the right-hand side, the combined ratio increased to 96.8 percentage points. When we look at the two main components, the loss ratio and the expense ratio, the loss ratio increased to 68.2%, and in the past year, we had 0.4% influence from natural catastrophes. Here we see a delta of 3.3%. We would expect a deterioration of 3.3%, but on the one hand, we have a slightly higher runoff. In 2007, we have a runoff ratio of 2.1% compared to 1.9% last year. That means that in total, and that is the core business here, that the loss ratio, the accidental loss ratio, was improved by 1%, by one percentage point, and that is due to the fact that the frequency improved, especially the loss frequency improved, especially in our vehicle business. I would now like to take a look at the development in life and health insurance. The profit in life and health, as you can see on page 13, after an exceptionally good first quarter of 2006, further increased by 3.7% to now 750 million. That is due to the fact that we have a better We have a better expense margin, as you can see on the right-hand side, and that is also due to the positive development in Allianz Leben. Also, when you look at the investment margin, we see minus 5 million here, and this result was influenced because of the accounting volatility in our U.S. business, which can be again traced back to the fact that the hedges were not fully qualified for hedge accounting, and therefore there are some effects because of the IAS 39. Overall, however, we see an improvement of the investment margins. It was just pointed out to me, and I did not say anything in the property-casualty business, and I would like to go back to the cost ratio, which, back to page 11, the cost ratio increased from 28.5% to 28.6%, and that means an absolute increase of 11 million. Here we have two influences because of the increase. We have an additional burden of the consolidation of Rosno and our Russian subsidiary, which led to another 17 million. Independent of that, with this cost situation, we cannot be happy. We want to be able to get closer to benchmark figures, and therefore we have to do some restructuring here. We expect a unified operating model for our property-casualty business here. There is definitely work to be done in this area. Let me get back after that short excursion back to life and health insurance on page 14. The development on the premium side, the premiums decreased by 3.9%. Half of that decrease is due to exchange rate effects. The growth, as you can see on the right-hand side, was -2%, and that was also due to the fact of the situation in the U.S. You can also see that on the left-hand side, where we see a decrease of 1.1 billion. What I would like to point out is last year, Italy was a problem, and in the first quarter of 2007, Italy is on the right track, and we have seen an increase of 24.8% in both companies, and especially their cooperation with our banking partner, UniCredit, is very positive, and we're doing much better than the market. One word maybe about the situation in Germany. Germany was at 2.8% in the red, and that is what we expected because in 2006, in the first quarter, we had a positive effect of the so-called Riester clause. I can tell you that we have seen a positive move from once-only contribution to continuous contributions. I can tell you that in the first quarter of 2007, if it had not been for the special effects, we would have seen a positive result for the first quarter. I would now like to talk about the U.S. in a little more detail. I think we're on the right path in the U.S. The premium decreased because of the introduced measures, which I mentioned in February. We stopped the decrease, and that was a first important milestone. Already in the second quarter, we should see a turnaround compared to the first quarter. We will probably most likely see an increase so that we will achieve our figures for our forecasted figures for this year, which amount to 11 billion, like in 2006. The results of the operating profit in the first quarter compared to the first quarter of 2006 does not look too convincing, but I would like to ask you that there are certain fluctuations when it comes to the results here because of our hedges. You cannot see them or only partially see them in the accounting, and therefore you have the influence of the market, but it is only limited to a certain amount of time, and the results will also increase. As you can see on the left-hand side, the capital investments are growing because the cancellation quota is on a low level because the products which the company is selling from a customer's point of view are the products as seen as very positive and very attractive. To put it in a nutshell, we will achieve our result of 600 million for the year 2007 as forecasted. That gets me to the results of banking.
Let me just say at first, I'm not talking about Alliance Banking overall, but only about Dresdner Bank. At Dresdner Bank, we can see in the first quarter a significant rise in operating profit. Overall, looking at one-off effects in terms of revenue. Before you start to adjust this one-off effect isn't quite as great as you think. We have extraordinary income from the equity valuation of KGL. There have been disinvestments there, so that raised realization profits. This will be reflected in the equity valuation interest income of 171 million. If you're now going to sharpen your pencils and start adjusting, you must make a fair adjustment in looking at the previous quarter in 2006. That had extraordinary effects of not only KGL, but also others of around 70 million. If I could just tell you what the essential components were. 2006 Q1, we had profit from the realization from property at the Jungfernstieg, 26 million. That's further in the revenues, also contained in the profit figure. There are also special income from trading in Allianz shares in our own bonds and derivatives of approximately 40 million, slightly over. If you do want to adjust, I think the net figure is around 100 million net. Even if you take that 100 million off, that leaves you a 50 million result, which is a jolly good growth. Apart from sharpened pencils result, what I really find is important are the results on the right-hand side, which are certainly going in the right direction. Premium income has been rising. Cost discipline is continuing to be strict. We have saved 35 million overall, and loan loss provisions are also at the previous level. Because the risk discipline remains unchanged, as you know. If you look at the income position individually, if you look at page 18, the revenue has gone up 7.4% to over 2 billion. Even adjusted for the special effects, they have still risen. You can see that the core areas of business, PTC, there's approximately zero growth. Of course, PTC has an extraordinary result of the previous year, so they've confirmed that. We've got two contrary developments in the leveraged finance area, And then we've got backwards results given the previous record results in equities. And then we've got the one-off effect and the pensions effect. So that will, that, I've already mentioned that in the context of life. So that has overall contributed to this very slight backward result on the revenue position. Nevertheless, it's overall a very good result. We've got in investment banking, we've got 3.1% growth. So that gives you a good view of operations. The special effects have all been reflected in the corporate business. So the segments give you a very good view. But in corporate segment, you can see 120 million growth. So that's 100 million of special effects. And the remaining 20 million are attributable to the fact that the bank is producing much more interest income from its own capital investments. And I have spoken in the past on press conferences about the fact that there is something that needs to be done here. On the expense side, if you look at page 19, the cost income ratio is continuing to improve from 73.7 to 66.9. If you take out performance related pay, then we've got to 56.9 to 50.2, and I think we are really very much on the right path here to achieve the next target of long-term, medium-term cost-income ratio of 70%. The cost-income ratio will also apply to all sorts of adjustments that you make for CAGR. So it affects all areas, both personnel costs and also capital expenses. So let me turn now to asset management. The operating profit has risen by 2.6%. However, as I mentioned, this is significantly affected by the weak dollar. 75% of the results comes from the U.S. So adjusted for this, we would have had 9.9% growth in the operating profit. The Q1 result is based for a significant rise in assets under management. In the original currency, we have a growth of 3%. We also had significant net inflows. We've had strict price discipline and cost management. The cost-income ratio at 60% is on an extremely competitive level. The cost-income ratio is slightly higher than it was the year before. This reflects investments in future growth, in particular in distribution in Europe and also in restructuring in Asia. We have... And this is decisive for the asset management results. We've got success factors in terms of fixed income. 89% of our assets have been outperforming their targets. And this is also in the context of a relatively difficult market in the first quarter. And on page 23, you can see our equity performance, which has been stable at around 70%. This is partly due to the fact that we've had positive net inflows. And let me just wind up now. Let me just summarize. We had a very good start to 2007. We're very not happy with the revenue position. Even if that was expected in Q1 2007, operating profit was up 7% and has risen to 2.9 billion. Reflects the strong profit position of all our segments, and has managed to hold up against a significant natural disaster in the first quarter. Net income has increased by 82% to 3.2 billion. That's an extremely good result. And I think I'm absolutely confident that we will achieve our targets for 2007. That's the end of what I'd like to say. So I'd like to take your questions, please. We can start with a question. Ladies and gentlemen, today's question and answer session will be conducted electronically. If you'd like to answer a question, please press the star or asterisk key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone keypad. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. We'll take the questions in the order received, but if you find that your question has already been posed, you can always withdraw it. So please press star 1 to ask a question. Please wait a moment so that we give everybody the opportunity to signal. We will take the first question from Michael Fleming from the Goldman Sachs. Good morning, Mr. Pallett. I have three questions overall. First of all, you said you're standing by the targets of 2007. Where are you going to get your significant swing for in the second half of the year? Is it the US or there are other sources? Secondly, the Dresdner Bank. Investment banking has an operating result which has slightly decreased. Others have got significant increases. Why is this? Thirdly, you said that properties were to be realized. What is the logic of that transaction? Perhaps you could just describe that a little bit more. Thank you. Okay, we're turning to the revenue position. If you look at the figures, then you can see asset management and banking were very much on the right path. In the insurance business, I had actually said that we should see a recovery in the rest of the year, particularly in the US. And you can also, I think, assume that in Germany and in France, we will continue to grow from the somewhat lower level in the first quarter, which was due to a number of special effects. In Germany, there was the Riester pension effect in the first quarter of 2006. There was also one thing I'd forgotten in France. It's also somewhat lower in the first quarter. There are certain special effects there. In France, we can see product innovation for Schuh products, which are unit-linked. This is advantage to the companies. This will increase margins. Some of our competitors, let me put it this way, do count those premiums as part of new business. So in the case of AGF, that would have been 700 million in the first quarter, which we haven't included in the premium income, because from my point of view, this is really innovative and has nothing to do with increased premium. But of course, this does tie up capital expenditure, and this, of course, can be freed up to produce growth. When it comes to investment banking, the operating result, yes, other competitors, I can't say too much about that. I haven't got their figures in front of me today, or I haven't had time to do that, but I think what you must say with Dresdner Bank is that first of all, we have valuation effects of the derivatives. And what is important, but I think where we have made a conscious decision to do less is to do in terms of trading. And that is, of course, does have a much larger role to play in our competitors' positions. Property sales. There are two things perhaps I ought to mention. First of all, we have said already that as far as the insurance area is concerned, we want to sell our properties, our own properties. We've announced that DG is going to be selling most of its properties. Those are, of course, not on our books. This is going to be happening within the fund. And we're just using the attractive climate at the moment, and so therefore using this to improve the profit position within the fund. So that means the, as far as the sale of our own properties, this is simply against the background that the overall, in terms of the portfolio and profit position, our property portfolio is to be restructured. We want to increase our property holding. We've got about a 4% ratio at the moment of property in our holding. We want to reach 6%. So we want to have a ratio of 40 to 60 of foreign to German properties. In the past, we had a sort of home market for various strategy, and we want to expect more active management of our property portfolio. This is our first step towards that, to allow the management to have a completely new strategy and carry that out. Thank you very much. Next question, please. We take the next question from Lisa Bauer from Dow Jones. Good morning. Some of my questions have been answered already. I had one more question about the listing in the US. Is that still worth the money, or are you considering that perhaps going back on that? Thank you very much. Welcome. I can say the following. We are, of course, carefully following the discussions in the US, and we're happy that the delisting criteria have now been loosened. That's been demanded by politicians, not just by companies. So that does give us greater flexibility for the future. And we keep looking at that as other subjects. We haven't actually got a decision at the moment as to whether we want to abide by it or not. Yeah, okay, thank you very much. Next question, please. Just to remind you, if you have a question, please press the asterisk key followed by the 1. We have no further questions. You want to surprise me, ladies and gentlemen? We have one follow-up question from Michael Planning from Belton Panel. Let me use this opportunity then, Mr. Pellet. You want to come into a leading position on costs and fireman's fund. What actual cost ratio are you actually looking at? And then to the annual general meeting, it would turn down the buyback of the shares for the current year. What are your views on that and the prospects? In terms of the leading position in the expense ratios, if you look at the ING figures, they're about 24%, and that is certainly a figure that we want to reach in the medium term. So this is just against the background that, in terms of competitiveness, we do need to make sure that on the cost side we become somewhat more efficient and lean. That will ultimately benefit clients too, so that we become more quickly able to respond. In terms of AGM, yes. Yes, I think we haven't done ourselves a favour. We won't be making any share buybacks for some period. In 2007, there's no question about the share buyback. But I do think that some institutional investors have not quite clear about what that actually means. We are very sorry about that. So that is certainly something that a subject that we could speak about again next time. One more question about leadership in cost. You say 24% or better is what you'd want to achieve. Is it sufficient simply to introduce a unified operating model to achieve this? No, Mr. Fleming. We've got two components here. The first is through the various restructurings that we've announced, we will achieve, we hope to achieve significant cost savings This is currently reflected hardly at all, let's say, sort of two-digit figures in our the evolution of our results. We have spoken about what this will bring in future in Germany. We're looking at up to 600 million savings, 150 million in the US, Italy. I had the figures in the press conference in February. We're looking at another 150 million improvements there. Altogether, this is not going to be reflected all in the costs. Through the unified operating model, we will be able to decrease our costs excessively, because the changes that are coming about in that process will lead about to greater standardization throughout the organization. And this, of course, enables us to have shared service centers. And as we've announced last week, on the IT side, we're going to be taking a further step in that direction. I think if we look at those two steps, and also and a very strict cost discipline, as far as current expenditure is concerned, we should be able to come close to the figure that you mentioned. Thank you very much indeed. Any other questions? Ines Schulze from
CPA. Good morning, my name is Schulze. I wanted to ask about, you mentioned that you will achieve the operating results of 10% in the years to come. Can you tell us exactly what the profit will look like by the end of the year? Ms. Schulte, we said that we gave you some figures for the operating profit because of the net income, and that is something we have seen in the first quarter because you have the fluctuations of the capital market and the equity market, and we stand behind our 10% figure for the years to come, and these average of 10%, you can understand that in such a way that we believe that these 10% will be spread evenly between 07 to 09. Does that answer your question? Great. Any other questions? We have one question by Mr. Carsten Siebel from Die Welt. Carsten Siebel, sorry. Two questions. On the one hand, you said that you do not plan further capital gains. Yes, that's true. There will be no major sales anymore. And the second question about the Dresdner Bank, it all sounded quite satisfactory. Are you completely satisfied with the situation of the Dresdner Bank and the development of it? Well, I would like to go back to what I said, the development, when we look at all drivers, are pointing towards the right direction. The bank is growing, the bank becomes more cost-oriented, and it is very disciplined when it comes to risks. And all that should have an effect in such a way, and that was our goal for the next 3 years to come, that we will achieve a 15% of return-adjusted capital. And we have not achieved that yet in 2006. That means we are not happy yet because we want the 15%, but we are happy about the fact that the underlying drivers are all developing in the right direction. Any further questions? Herbert Fromme from Financial Times Deutschland. Good morning. Hello, Mr. Fromme. About the market development globally and in Europe in the vehicle insurance market, when does it become expensive for you because of the prices changing in this area? Will you be withdrawing from that side? Do you want less business in that area? Well, the question is not an easy one to answer about the global development. Of course, we have a very competitive situation in the vehicle insurance market, which is characterized by two developments. That is not true for all the markets, but it is especially true for Germany and also partially for Italy. In Germany, we're still profiting from an improving frequency, the same is true in Italy, but with a non-claims bonus, we have fewer premiums. But on the other hand, it's good news, and that it's also it's positive when you look at the combined ratios, because the results are good. We have had increases in the prices, but we have had decreases because of the non-claims bonus. So that means for the year, for the foreseeable future, for 2007, we expect a slight decrease in the premiums in the vehicle insurance business. Does it become more expensive, and will we withdraw from that? No, we will not do that, because it's one of the main pillars of our insurance business. I have to do that with the right risk selection in order to continue this business, and we have done that rightly in the past. And also, Mr. Froman, what I would like to tell you, in the vehicle insurance business across all our portfolios, we have had a combined income ratio of 95%, which is quite positive. When we look at the industry insurance, in some areas we have had a decrease in the prices, and we're leaving some larger accounts if the prices are not right. And independent of that, when you look at the figures in the industry business, we have had a slight increase of 4%, because we're entering some niches where we have done some underwriting and achieved new business, and with the right margins. So on the whole, when we look at the industry business, it depends on the risk. And sometimes we, here in this area, we take an opportunistic approach compared to the mass market. One question about the vehicle insurance. For example, Zurich has a platform for all across Europe, and they're offering the so-called cross-border insurance from Ireland. And why do you want an independent insurer in every country? Why are you not doing that for the... Why are you not using one model for the whole private market? Well, that is something I also pointed out in February. We do take the European approach in the direct insurance. That is exactly the approach we have taken across Europe. The question is whether you need a factory in every country in Europe. That is something that can be discussed, but I still believe it makes sense. But what is important right now is that you standardize the processes so that you have a uniform business model, and then you can start thinking about further steps if you take the second step before the first step. That is not so good. What about the European direct insurances? Well, we're still at the very beginning. You know that we already have a strong platform in Italy, and starting from Italy, we will continue to push that through the rest of Europe. We also have a good platform in Germany, which is already quite successful in the market. Any other questions? We have an additional question by Christine Schultz from DPR. There was a court case in Munich by some Allianz salespeople who are suffering because of the rebate situation in the vehicle insurance. Ms. Schulze, I think our colleagues from ADAC are quite confident that it all makes sense what we're doing in that area, and I don't think I can say any more about that at this point in time. Any further questions? We do not have any further questions. I would like you to enjoy the rest of the day with all the reports you're getting in today.
Thank you. Goodbye. That ends today's conference. Thank you for taking part, and we hope you have a nice day.